Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
I'm well, my friend. How are you?
Good. You know, David, we are often prescient on this show, mostly due to things that you know and say about the game of basketball. Every once in a while, I'll drop a few gems in there. And at the end of our show on Thursday, I said, all right, by Monday's show, all three games will be played. Will either be 1-1, 2-0, whatever. I was doing all the math, and I was like, we're 3-0. And then I said, eh, no series will be 3-0. And then I quickly caught myself and said, well, this is the NBA after all. So, of course, that could happen. Anything can happen. David, here we are. Both conference finals matchups are 3-0. The Miami Heat last night in Game 3 at home dismantled the Boston Celtics and have a commanding 3-0 series lead. You know, I had the feelings when watching that game last night, David, similar to what I felt about the 76ers in Game 7 in the prior round against the Celtics. I'm like, you're down 0-2. This was not an elimination game, but it was essentially a game that if we lose this, our season's basically over. And I just did not like what I saw from Boston. Now, I'm giving Miami credit, of course, but Boston, to me, once the Heat were on their barrage of hitting shots, it just looked like it took everything away from them. And you cut to the huddle, and they kept mentioning, you know, Al Horford's in the chair talking to the team. And I'm like, are they even listening? I see guys just like looking like, man, shell-shocked. Like, how are we here, and how are we getting our rear ends kicked right now?
Well, first of all, you said the word prescient, and I'm just a basketball coach, so I don't really know what that means. But I do think you were saying we're decent at seeing the future sometimes.
Yes.
Well, supposedly I'm a pretty smart basketball guy. I've been doing this now. I always forget that my first two players that I trained that got drafted was in the year 2000. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I had two second round picks drafted in the year 2000. So this is 23 years for me now. Well, this so-called genius said Boston has a better chance to win in 4 or 5 than Miami does in 7.
Correct. You said that.
I said that I still thought after game one, I thought Denver was fine. I did not think that the Lakers had found some kind of secret. Great. But I also thought it still could go 7. Mm-hmm. Both series might be over quickly. Denver obviously expects to win this one.
Yeah.
The reality is the game was over. The series was over if you look at math. With 5:44 left to play in the second quarter of game 3, when I may have been Gabe Vincent made 2 free throws to put the Heat up 20. I just sent you that stat. Mm-hmm. Miami is like, whatever, 13-0, maybe 10-0 when we're up by 20 or more. Boston 0-10 when they're down by 20 or more this season. Now, in most cases, I would guess that 20-point margin was later in the game. Still, math is math. And boy, how did it steamroll like that? So the reality is it's easy to say, oh, the team quit and there's no leadership, but I think some of those things are accurate. But having mostly been on the side of the winning team, but definitely sometimes being on the side of the losing team, including in games that I wanted to win, as opposed to some game in November when I was a high school coach where I don't care what happens, we're going to learn from this. Sometimes you run out of ideas. And it is like jumping into, have you ever jumped in what am I asking you for? Of course, you've jumped into freezing cold water before.
Of course.
So your lungs compress, the air comes out of your body. Well, that's kind of what it's like sometimes when you just don't have, you have to stop the bleeding. You're out of, and by the time you start gathering your wits about you, it's 25. Like, game's over.
Game over.
But that's what happened last night. I mean, in the third quarter, do you remember the first Celtics basket? You'll remember when I tell you.
I don't, but tell me.
Marcus Smart took the ball away from the Heat and got an and one.
Correct. Yep.
Ooh, okay.
Got it on a 12, I believe. I was like, ooh, it might get to 10.
Yeah, they were down to 15 and a half. I watched the game last night with an NBA coach who came over to my house. He was in town visiting people. And we're like, all right, that's a Marcus Smart thing. Here we go. I don't care who won the game. I want to see a competitive game. Mostly, I just want to hear my super smart friend talk smart things about basketball in games that mattered. And even a couple minutes in, you know, Tatum makes it three. Mm-hmm. It looked like Jaylen Brown had a really good, strong drive to the rim.
Some things are happening.
But they couldn't solve Miami's offense at all.
No.
And Gabe Vincent busts a three at the top of the key in transition. And so you look at it like Caleb Martin killed them in game two. Mm-hmm. Gabe Vincent, 29 in game three. I mean, 25 mm-hmm. by Martin in game two. Mm-hmm.
Duncan Robinson, too.
Awesome. Duncan Robinson, 20-plus last night. Mm-hmm. That wasn't on the scouting report. Like, basically, I can imagine the scenario where the Celtics coach is saying, hey, if we lose to Gabe Vincent making threes or Caleb Martin, we're going to lose.
Well,
and so when that's happening,
they're going to lose.
That's the equivalent of jumping in freezing cold water. Like, oh my God, it's happening. What do we do now? How do we pivot? And now we got to chase. This isn't game one or two. You're chasing now after three losses. I mean, history says it's over, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's, I know people are trying to say there's a big picture going on. The best I can understand it, Gerard, is I don't think Jaylen, well, I don't know anything, but I know something, if you know what I mean by that. Jaylen Brown, I don't think he wanted to go back to Boston.
Yes, well, you've been saying that all season.
I was saying it late in the season. Some very obvious Boston Celtics media fans were really lobbying for Jaylen Brown to get All-NBA.
Which he did.
I don't think he deserved it. He got it. They did it because they knew the Celtics they could keep him. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder if he's like, oh, I'm fucked either way. I make an enormous amount of money. And if you know Jaylen Brown, he seems like he's a man of principle. And nobody could argue that he isn't if he took that kind of money. That's generational wealth.
Right.
That is his great-grandchildren will have college paid for, will never know hunger, and they'll have no idea his dad played for whomever. Mm-hmm. They won't know any of it. It's hard to say he's wrong for taking generational wealth. Right. In fact, I'll argue that he's not wrong. You say yes to the money, and then you figure it out. Right? So, but there is the concern. I thought Jason Tatum, he ran out of gas last year. He was otherworldly in the end of game six and then of game seven, 63 points in 45 minutes, as we've discussed. He's been pretty good in this series.
Right.
They needed more than pretty good.
Yeah, they needed Jason Tatum.
Right. He seemed just kind of absent from a voice standpoint. And I spoke about this before. And I wrote about this. The Nuggets have a voice.
Yes.
In Jokic, for sure. He's their voice. And Miami has a voice in Jimmy. Although I think Kyle Lowry and Udonis.
And Spo. Yeah. But yeah.
Spo, the coach for sure. We're going to get to Spo. Mm-hmm. I know we're going to get to Spo. We'll get ransacked if we don't. But you just said Al Horford. I love Al Horford. He's a Gator back when I cared about the Gators. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's that guy.
No.
They'll listen to him. They respect him, I'm sure.
Of course.
They're asking about, hey, what do you think of this investment? What about this real estate portfolio? How do I better defend this pick and roll action?
Right.
I think, but to galvanize them and to in a sense, throw them in a bucket of cold water, wake them up.
Right.
I just don't think he's that guy. And Tatum didn't even bother trying. It's almost like they're like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
We were out of ideas. We're done.
Yeah.
And that's probably on the coach as much as anyone.
So let's go there. Missoula, and of course I am agreeing 100% with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Missoula has been a lightning rod the last. Yeah. I mean, really, it's been whispering around Boston for the late half of the season when they started sort of like what we thought was coasting, right? We're like, look, they've been the number one team in net rating all year. Maybe they're just getting themselves coasting, getting ready for the postseason, right? They come out in round one against who did they play in round one? Boston, yeah.
They played the Atlanta
Hawks.
Yeah, who beat Miami like a drum.
Yes.
In Miami.
And we're like, all right, they win. Okay, Miami kind of, you know, the Hawks kind of come in and win again. We're like, oh, okay, but they do that. And then the Sixers series, who you thought have been good all year. But we're like, why do they keep doing this thing where they're clearly the better team, but they, for inexplicable reasons, just stop playing. They run out of ideas, what have you. And they just lose. But then they're like, all right. And it closed out game on the road, game six. They won in the last minutes, dominated game seven. We're like, all right, they're doing okay. But in this series, I mean, two games on their home floor, they lose, right? So that's already, alarm bells are off, right? We're the higher seed. We have home court. We lost our first two at home. Heightened sense of awareness to come out for game three, right? Because we cannot go down 0-3. And again, punch in the mouth. To your point, scouting report, Gabe Vincent's hitting shots. Well, if that happens, we're going to lose. David, the psychology of winning four straight. The reason why it hasn't happened in this sport, and it's happened very rarely in the others, if the other team won three straight, it's likely because in this sample size, they're just better than you right now. And so the odds of you now turning it around and getting in your head, we can defeat them four straight times, the belief is not there. Because even though coaches want to say it's one at a time, one possession, you know what is in front of you. Okay, that may be true, coach, but I have to win four of these if we want to save our season. And that task and that lead seems insurmountable. And I don't know if Missoula can get to them. Now, if it was reverse, I'm not saying he would, and they would do it. But if Spo was telling his guys that, I know they'd believe it. Whether it happened or not, that's a different story. But they'd believe whatever that guy's selling them. And I just don't know that the Celtics are buying whatever Missoula's selling.
Yeah, I want to be clear that I don't think Missoula should be fired.
We're not saying anything like that.
Yeah, no, you're not. But people are. I think that's more than reactionary. It's radical. Unless there's something behind the scenes I'm not aware of.
We don't know, right?
I don't know him. I've spoken to people who I know very well who say very good things about him just as a person. Good guy. This is the worst coach he'll ever be. Mm-hmm. This is same as Darvin Ham. This is the worst they'll ever be. How much they grow, different story.
Right.
But it's impossible to imagine they won't get at least somewhat better. Mm-hmm. And so Joe Mazzulla was, I thought, a big part of them beating Philadelphia in game 6 and 7. Because he just breathed spirit into Jason Tatum.
Yep.
He just trusted him. They're a different animal now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, forgive me for saying this again, but when I was a young coach, at some point I realized, and maybe it was all false bravado, because I was trying to keep my girlfriend happy and make her think I could make some money one day so she'd stay, continue to date me. And that would be, you know, my current wife, obviously. I've been with her ever since I started coaching. I used to always say to myself, oh, it's 6-on-5, because I'm crushing that other motherfucker coaching. I really made it personal. The difference is in JV basketball in Pinellas County in the 1980s, it really was 6-on-5 because most of those dudes, it was just a job to make an extra $500 a year or whatever.
Right.
This was my whole life. Mm-hmm. When I decided to coaching, it was just that coaching, basketball, and Chrissy. That was it pretty much in my life. I had nothing else and no money for sure. Well, we don't see that kind of advantage in the NBA very clearly, very often. We're seeing it now. Yeah. This is a guy at the top of his coaching game. This is not even fair to Joe Mazzulla.
Right.
I mean, Eric Spoelstra has been in how many finals? I feel this way about Ty Lue.
Yeah.
Ty's got his issues, but I mean, what was it, 4 straight NBA finals?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're with assistant coach, head coach, like, my goodness, are you learning a lot? What an unbelievable, it's like going to Harvard Law School where you can't fail. You have to stay there and learn. Mm-hmm. What an education that must be.
For sure.
And so Spo's got a whole bunch of that, winning and losing, not to mention all the other playoff games that he's gone through.
Well, you talk about it with players, reference points, right?
Yeah,
right. Vets have it because,
well,
coaches have it too, right? It works the same for them.
Yeah.
So he has been in just about every possible scenario. And let's not forget, guys, this team was in the same position last year and they lost Game 7 to the Boston Celtics, right? In the conference finals. So, I mean, and for Jimmy to come, you know, and Jimmy said it after this. He's like, you know, we'll be back next year and we'll get it done. And my God, they are one game away from getting it done. I thought something was interesting talking about Spo now and just how brilliant he is. He said this after the game, and this is about Gabe Vincent specifically. It's his assertiveness and aggressiveness in reading the game. I thought he had as much impact and put his fingertips on the winning Game 2 as he did tonight. One of the games he had 4 points, another game he had 29. And he has the emotional stability to, you know, he sees guys like Jimmy and Bam, who are the perfect role models. Coming in as a young player, it's about impacting winning. And sometimes it's about making the right play and doing it on both ends of the court. That's tough to do as a young player because so much is celebrated on just that last number on the box score. And that last number on the box score, as we all know, is how many points you scored in a game. And this is at the heart of what basically your entire profession and life has been built around, this idea of player development. And yes, scoring points are, of course, important. Like, you can't win if you don't score points. Everybody knows that. But how those points come about and how you are able to score them and how you win games, so many more things go into that. And Gabe Vincent, I love that point by Spo. It's like, yeah, he scored 29 tonight, but I thought he had a great impact in Game 2. He just didn't score 29, right? the ways in which you're able to, and we have metrics for that, right? Like Kyle Lowry, right? He was not some 25 point per game scorer, but he was killing him plus minus all the time. So somebody saw, well, whenever he's on the floor, this team tends to do well and win. That is a skill. We have to figure out how to get that and harness that. And Spo and the Heat do that better than just about any other team in the league.
While I'm talking here for a minute, because I'm so long-winded, as detractors of me as have written over the years on podcasts, can you look up how old Gabe Vincent is for me? He's 25, 26 maybe?
Yeah, because he was in that 2018 draft, so 26, yep.
Yeah. What you just read there about Spo, the two words that really caught me is impact winning.
That's the name of the game.
In player development, I've said this many times to young coaches that I talk to, whatever. I am not, even though I supposedly kind of invented the business, or maybe definitely did invent it, I never call myself a skill development guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not a trick shot artist. Mm-hmm. I always felt like families would continue to give me $25 a week, which is all I charged back in 1993 when I started this, if I could help their players impact winning, because that meant they got more playing time for their team. JV, I was coaching JV and varsity players in high school, mostly boys. Impact winning. I give that same speech. I've not grown one bit when it comes to that. This is a battle to learn how to win possessions. What can you do to help your team win possessions? And that might mean scoring. It definitely means screening. It definitely means making the right pass at the right time. It means not only do you need to know what you're supposed to do defensively, it's executing it. We'll get to Denver Lakers in a minute, but they flubbed Hachimura, AD, Dennis Schroeder once flubbed major possessions defensively in the fourth quarter. Just bad communication led to giving up the shot they should not have wanted to give up. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you gave up a bad shot and they made it.
Right.
That's happening in games all the time, but these weren't those, and it was a nip and tuck game. I mean, LA actually had a lead pretty late in that game and then just folded at the end. This impact winning thing is just, it's the absolute core of our teaching curriculum. Scoring is just one small part of that. And I think, and I'm writing an article, as you know, this week, we're going to dive into Spo, Miami Heat, and drafting. Because obviously their team has, I mean, their best player was drafted 30th. Their second best player was 14th. I think Bam was last.
Yep.
Tyler Hero, their third best player during the regular 13th. Season, went 13th and has not played.
Correct.
Last night, their highest pick, Kevin Love, that was 20 years ago.
Right, yeah. He ain't that player now.
Like, I think Kevin, I'm almost positive, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think Kevin Love followed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at UCLA. Like, that dude's been around, you know? Like, I think his pictures were black and white in his first ever season. And he got hurt 4 minutes into the game and didn't play again. They're missing Oladipo. The highest rated, I think Oladipo went 2.
Yes, 2 or 3, yeah.
Yeah, 2, I'm almost sure. Maybe to behind Kyrie, I don't remember who was number 2, who was number 1 that year. Sure. It seems that maybe after, it wasn't Kyrie. That's a long time. Kyrie might have been not as old.
He was a 2 pick, and that was a 2013 draft.
Yeah, I don't remember one. Yeah. So, like, how are they doing it? Well, they got a whole bunch of guys that they have helped.
That's the Anthony Bennett draft.
Anthony Bennett, right. He should have gotten one, probably, that one. So Spoelstra has taken what I think is a moderately decent scouting group in Miami. Mm-hmm. And I only say that because I don't think they've done a great job of grabbing talent. However, to their defense, they're clearly understanding how to grab the right kind of guy for how they play. Mm-hmm. And they let teams bolster us, not just Eric. Mm-hmm. Coach those guys up. The GMs get Pat Riley. The executives get tremendous credit.
Andy Ellsberg, yep. Mm-hmm.
For letting Spo do what he does, backing him totally. As the NBA coach said to me last night, and I said to you guys this morning in our morning call, has anyone read anything regarding Spoelstra's job security when Miami was underachieving this season?
Never.
It's his job. He can stand up to Jimmy Butler. He did, I think it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. That helps. Everyone knows it's on us. And they're not going to, it's like you hear Seinfeld talk about how at NBC, when the network gives notes, it just is like, they know nothing about comedy.
Right.
They don't, they're not, they think they're in the same business as us. They're not.
Right.
And they left Seinfeld alone and look what happened. That's what the Miami Heat are. They're basically, I may write this, Miami Heat are the Jerry Seinfeld of NBA teams. Pat Riley just lets them do their thing. Yeah. He lets both of the guys do their thing. And boy, is it look beautiful to watch. And we should not, it's a mistake to just assume Boston won't recover. Man, they've been through this a lot. They've only made one finals. They've been to five finals with much of the core the same. And Smart, and obviously, and certainly, and Brown and Tatum. Horford's been in for some of it. They've got some work to do. They have a talented team.
A lot of work.
they had a couple of plays, I thought, last night, Gerard, where they ran back on defense. They didn't race back with purpose. Mm-hmm. And they allowed easy shots. Yep. They were already down 15, 18, whatever, 20. But there was a sign that we're done. And so, like I said, with 5:44 to go, second quarter, losing by 20, the series is over right then.
And when you are down like that, David, you're not going to get it back offensively. You got to get stops on the other end, right? Like, so running back on defense is, no, you have to race back. You, no transition. No.
It's with purpose. With purpose. Like, so in other words, Grant Williams on a huge play where Gabe Vincent made a 20, I made a three, I think to put it might be 23 at the top of the key. Grant Williams ran back, didn't race, but he didn't run to anyone. He just ran.
Right.
No, you have to race with purpose to the shooter. No one else, like Hal Horford stayed back to protect the rim. Someone's got to guard the shooter. Like you, that's what we talk about a lot is having a specificity. Thank you. You're a professional. I'm just a coach. You got to have that. Like you really have to have an exact point to what you're doing. Otherwise, you're just running as fast as possible on a treadmill.
Yeah.
You're not getting anything done. Yeah. Right. And so they just didn't have it. And I mean, Mazzulla blamed himself. I think rightfully so, from a leadership standpoint. Don't point fingers.
Yeah.
The way Malone did early this season, although it worked out so far good for Mike, but it's not just on Mazzulla.
Right.
Like, we shouldn't have to tell these professionals, these are experienced professionals, like, we need a better effort and a better awareness to detail.
Well, and I think that is where the feeling, David, about the Sixers came in while I was watching this, because Boston was in the finals last year. You had a lead. You could have won the championship last year. There's no guarantee you're going to make it back again ever. Like, that's not how this works. Like, somebody gets hurt, whatever. Who knows? So the urgency and the specificity. Now you got me doing it. The specificity. I can't even do it. Anyway. Specificity, right? Like, it is. I'm like, what is happening right now? Why are you guys, like, as you said, running without purpose, not identifying shooters to pick up in transition? Like, it's like, oh, we're just kind of hanging out. Like, no, do you not remember the pain of losing the NBA Finals last year? Is that already gone out your brain? Can't be.
I think that we always have to remember. Well, first of all, we said this earlier on too. The Sixers series could have taken a lot out of them. It's fair to say that.
Sure. Went 7 games.
It's fair to guess that. And it's a hell of a team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Spoelstra coaching the Sixers, they're winning 94 games. I'm just saying. Nothing against Doc Rivers. He ain't no Spo.
Right.
Maybe he was with Spo's age. I don't know, but he isn't now.
Right.
I think that they've run into a buzzsaw, a team that's just playing out of their minds. Mm-hmm. And they're solving problems on both ends.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing, is they're making it tougher on Boston offensively, and they're making it, they're just finding a way to score, shooting well, multiple attacks, scoring efficiently, productively. They're really a locked in. I think they're the favorites to win the championship now.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
I thought too, end of the second, when they, I think it was 12 or 13, when they got it down to then, right? And then when they kind of tried to make the little run beginning of the third, I thought in those 6.5 minutes or so, the Celtics were getting good shots. A lot of them were open. They just missed them.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they make some, like what happens then? Look, they missed every single one. They probably didn't, but it seemed like they missed every single one.
That's the issue with Miami's offense now is, The Miami has not had this offense much of the year. And so when they went through, when you couldn't score against their defense, you didn't pay a penalty because they couldn't score either.
Right.
And now it's a barrage.
The reverse.
Yeah, it's just all of a sudden you just wake up and, oh my God, we're down. I mean, I think the Celtics were down, let's say 10 or 11, and it was a struggle the second quarter. My friend came over, and I knew my dog had, I'd not seen him in a long time, and needs to say hello to him because my wife was ready for bed, and I want my dog barking loudly. He's a mean dog if he doesn't know you, and I love it. Yeah, I'm going to be alone in a week for 10 days, and I got a partner. Yeah, and we have an alarm system and everything too, and video cameras everywhere. But no
substituting Wilson.
Wilson's going to take a chunk out of you if you fuck around here. But anyway, so I walked him outside. My friend was on the phone. I peed him. He's like, yeah, how's the game going? I said, oh, like 10 or 11 points. Came back 18. I wasn't gone that long. He'd pee very long. This is a team just, it's like a waterfall. You can't stop it.
Yeah.
And you know, Butler always has a solution. Mm-hmm. And so because of it, you like a couple of times the Celtics caught really over helping. Mm-hmm. I think it was a Gabe Vincent three at the top of the key where Horford was in the lane. Whoever was guarding Butler and Marcus Smart dove way too far. Mm-hmm. And Gabe Vincent had a wide open three. It was just a mistake. You don't need three on him. That's the pressure of the responsibility of trying to slow him down.
Did you notice that I thought that the Celtics had a couple possessions where they had some success on their double on Butler, forced him into some turnovers, but they didn't go back to it. And when they did go back to it, they didn't time it right. So on one of the doubles where they got the turnover, it was like almost perfect timing on the double. The double came right when he was going into his move. But the next time they did it, too late. He's already got 2 feet in the paint. I was like, no, guys, it's too late now. Like you're too much ground to cover. He sees where it's coming from. Like, what do you think their inability to continue that doubling at the right pace and timing and all that stuff?
Without studying it, like what you just said, what I've been watching is all a credit to Miami's offense. Because early in the series, I thought they're overreacting to Caleb Martin. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, no, they were reacting just fine. He's become a hell of a threat. They overreacted to Duncan Robinson. I mean, in this game, Duncan Robinson had a kick out three mm-hmm. and a lob dunk.
Yep.
Because they were so panicked about Duncan scoring. And so they gave up 5 points because of it, where I think they should have played more square and not given up those easy passes, make him finish shots. But he's been killing it. It's like Steph Curry effect. Mm-hmm. Same as Gabe Vincent. So I think part of the problem is these guys are a step off, a millisecond slow, and because they're unsure, because everyone seems weaponized mm-hmm. and successful mm-hmm. at it. And so it's just, it's hard for them to get off that foundation of, I know what I have to give up. I'm going to give this up to take that away.
Right.
They don't want to give up, but they've been told to give up because it's not working.
It's working. Yeah.
Yeah. The other team's scoring. Right.
Yeah.
It's working for them, not for you. That's what I think.
David, so are you saying that when all five guys are weaponized, that works better than individual isolation basketball? Is that what you're saying, David?
I'm saying that, of course. And they're not just standing still.
Correct.
Yeah. They set screens with purpose. Miami always had a good mixture, I thought, of how they attack. But it's going to go through Jimmy. If it doesn't, it's going through single doubles for Duncan and that kind of thing. But you know, they've got a beautiful pick and roll mixture in there. They got a couple of easy shots out of that. And they're just, right now, they're clicking. Mm-hmm. And Boston's been unable to break up their rhythm.
One of the things I love about getting to work with David is obviously all his basketball knowledge, but it comes in different ways. On this podcast, when I talk to him one-on-one, when I have group calls, whatever. One of the other ways I get great knowledge from David is I'm on a group chat with players and coaches that he, you know, mentors and teaches things to. And so he sends clips in these chats. And they're always about interesting things that players need to work on or coaches need to, hey, your players need to be thinking about these kinds of things. Freeze fakes, shot fakes, all these important things that you, when you watch a game, you see and great players have, and you're like, oh man, can we just for 30 seconds, 45 seconds, wax on Jimmy Butler's shot fake and his jump stops? And because to me, anybody who can learn can be taught how to do those things. And he does them so well and so brilliantly, and it works every single time. Oh, it's shot fake, foul. Right? Like, jump stop. Here it comes. It's a beautiful work of art watching him do these things.
It's funny that you wanted to bring that up. I saw in the document is that when I was talking to my NBA coaching friend last night, who knows my curriculum pretty well, he said that. He's like, Jimmy Butler made a fake. And he's like, Coach, you know, he must be your favorite player. I said, why do you say that? He's like, because no one on the planet has ever coached fakes more than you. He said, no one's ever written an article strictly on fakes like you did for Troop 2 weeks ago, which is true. I did. Although I did leave out the greatest line of all time. I'm such an idiot. I said it in our conversations, but I left out that with the exception of some time and score situations where you had to shoot at a shot clock violation or a vice would occur, every shot that's been blocked should have been a fake. Mm. Yeah. It just, I don't know how I didn't come up with that in the article because I'm stupid, but that is a smart thing. If you're going to get blocked, you should have faked clearly or just not even shot, period. Butler is just under control. It's all about slowing down. It's all about slowing down. And then because you're slowing down, you start thinking of ways to create space and opportunities for yourself. Fakes is one of those ways. Mm-hmm. Freeze fakes, shot fakes are two of those ways to throw off the rhythm and timing of the defender. And also, and I put this in the virtual library you're talking about, It also allows you, in fact, I think the example I used, the most recent one, was Gabe Vincent getting to the second box in game two. Correct. He does a nice little more like a shot fake than a freeze fake. It shoots the jumper. It doesn't just throw the defender's timing off. It allows you to gather yourself, get yourself balanced, and then regrip the ball if you might need to regrip the ball. We always tell our players, if you catch it kind of funny, don't shoot it. Right. Like you'll make 8% of those at a freeze fake and reposition your fingers on the ball accordingly while you're faking. And that allows you to do it. Some players, like my son, they like to find the seams. Mm-hmm. And so the fakes sometimes allow you to do that easier too. I don't teach that, but some guys do it, and I don't fight it. It's a sign of a mature player. I had a player years ago, Gerard, older guy, played the G League. He ended up should have been the MVP, was first team all league. Actually, back-to-back years, he was first team all league in different positions. And he was in his mid-20s at this point, and he's playing against younger guys. And he's an athletic dude at 6'9", but he saved his energy. Mm-hmm. And he would just fake. He would be at the rim, and I could see the defender measuring him. Well, so could he.
Yeah, yeah.
Boop, little fake. The player goes flying. Easy layup. It was like a joke. That's how Jimmy Butler looks like. It looks like he's a varsity player playing with JV guys.
Yeah, no, it is masterful. I want a couple of things before we move on from this series. Jaylen Brown, in his post-game presser, I was just talking about the loss, and he said, look, you know, they're playing well above their means. They're balling right now, and I got to give them respect. Guys that we should be able to keep under control are playing their asses off. And he's specifically speaking about Vincent Robinson, Caleb Martin, and Max Strus.
Right.
And that's what you referenced earlier. If those guys beat us, okay. But we ain't letting Tatum, right? Like that's the whole point. They can't get those guys wide open on us, but it's, hey, you're unable to keep those guys in check, right? It's happening. And then Gary Washburn, who Boston Globe, who covers the Celtics, for a long time, he tweeted out something I thought was interesting. And again, this ties into what we've been talking about all year with Jaylen. Jaylen Brown is biting his tongue from telling his truth. You can tell he has a lot on his mind. There's some real issues in that locker room. And I'm like, all right, when the dudes who follow the team around and like Gary and those guys who really know what's going on start saying things. And again, we've said things that we have heard from afar, but we're not there day in, day out at practices. Something is up. And I just feel like, look, we're not calling for anybody to get fired, but something's going to happen this summer. I don't know what, but something. That's all I'm saying.
You know, you and I haven't discussed this exact thing, but it really bothers me to, I don't know this guy, Gary, and I'm not saying he's wrong, but no fucking clue, no fucking surprise. They just got drilled they lost two straight at home against the 8 seed.
Right.
Like, thanks, Gary.
And got drilled again in game three.
Come on. Like, either give us something or leave it alone.
Give us the thing, right.
Right. Like, and I understand why he can't, so don't fucking write it.
Right, so don't say it, yeah.
Yeah, that shit, and I'm on the media. I want to protect people. Sometimes you got to pick it before you can break it open. But I just, like, we don't, you didn't advance the story one bit.
We know something's wrong. Right. Tell us what the
so
thing is.
Obvious the house is on fire. The fucking Knicks won 2 games from them. They got trailed by the Hawks a month ago. Well, a month and a half ago. So that kind of bothers me. Yeah, Tatum looked kind of unhappy. Who looks happy getting drilled?
Well, no, he just, well, no one should anyway.
Right. And they didn't. I thought Marcus Smart competed hard.
Yeah.
We talked about Brown seemed unhappy And now he's in a situation where he's going to get paid an awful lot of money. Maybe we speculated this when there was rumors that Tatum was said, when there was rumors that KD was okay with going to Boston.
Right.
The assumption is Tatum was asked and okay with it.
Right.
And that had to include a Brown. So it's all speculation
right. That
Brown knows Tatum was okay with me getting traded. All right, fuck that. Meanwhile, Brown's had a bunch of great games in this postseason.
No doubt.
They just beat a fantastic Philadelphia team who's good enough to be a champion.
Right.
They've been steamrolled, and we can search all we want. The reality is they've had trouble guarding a Miami team that's absolutely found its rhythm. And Miami, with Spoelstra and with Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry and Martin
and
Vincent and Bam, those guys, that's why I think they can beat Denver. And we'll deal with that when it comes.
Yep.
Maybe as early as Thursday, we're talking about it.
Yes.
I think they can scheme up defensively better than anyone else has seen against Denver. You've run up against a team. We see this in the NCAA tournament all the time. We see this like in college baseball and college sports with more one-and-done situations than NBA or professional sports. You've seen it in football, too. A team just fucking found its rhythm. If this Miami team was able to play like this all year, which is possible,
right?
They'd have won 60 games.
Correct. They'd have been the one seed, maybe. Right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they beat Milwaukee like a drum. They really beat up the Knicks pretty good. Mm-hmm. And here they are about potentially sweeping. I mean, the odds are they're going to sweep Boston. They're at home in game 4. They're on the road in game 4.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. They're going to win in 4 or 5, probably.
Yeah.
Four or six, I should say, probably.
It's funny that you said this is not the NCAA tournament. Well, or you said, but if a team gets hot, right? Like in the NCAA tournament, you'll lose. Yeah. Well, LeBron said something interesting. This ain't the NCAA tournament. It's not 1 and done. It's 1st to 4. Well, LeBron, Denver's at 3. So they are 1 away, literally in an NCAA tournament, 1 game, single elimination. That's where you are from 4. So we'll talk about that series when we get back. This episode of True Hoop is brought to you by BetterHelp. Hey guys, Gerard from True Hoop here. If you had an extra hour in your day, what would you do? It's a hell of a question. Would you maybe go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? Now, depending on the day, any one of those would be a great idea. Most of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Now, I've been open in the past with you guys about this. I see a personal therapist as well as a couples therapist for my partner and I, and both are extremely helpful in developing positive coping skills and learning how to set boundaries. Therapy empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/truehoop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/truehoop. You, David, had liked the Lakers all year. You liked their roster before they made all the changes, and you liked it again. And, you know, and we saw reasons to like it. They finished the end of the season strong. They looked very good in the first round, beating up on my poor Memphis Grizzlies. And they took out the defending champion Golden State Warriors. And we're like, man, look what's happening. But it seems to me, David, that Denver has some questions that they pose that the Lakers haven't figured out how to answer. And or there is an answer and they just haven't gone to it yet for whatever reason. And well, we only got 1 game left. So if you have the answer, now would be the time to employ those answers, because you lose tonight and it's, you know, time to go home. Still, I think remarkable turnaround for this team, considering where they started the year, 2-10. We were literally thinking, oh man, are they going to get a crappy, are they going to miss the playoffs? And is their pick going to end up in New Orleans because they're so bad? That's where we were in like December, right? We're like, oh, this is toast. Okay, they've turned around. I think part of the issue for them is they've gotten great role play, but the role players work only when your two stars are elite. Anthony Davis has been very, very good, not quite elite, and LeBron has not been elite. And so I think, you know, that slippage there in those two spots are enough, because it's not like they've gotten blown out, right, every single game. I mean, those first two games, right? So, I mean, it's just, it's just these smaller margins. And again, the likelihood of the, everyone says don't put anything past LeBron, and I don't, but the odds of him winning four straight at this stage of his career against this team, highly unlikely.
At high altitude.
And last thing I'll say is, and you know we're big on this at True Hoop, the top four players in terms of total minutes played in the playoffs are Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. What do those four players all have in common?
They're on teams. They haven't won a game in the finals yet.
Correct. They're on teams that have not won one single game in these finals. And I think that matters.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of factors. I think that's one of them. LeBron's 38 is the biggest one. He smoked a layup. He didn't even complain about fouling. By the way, Boston, I tweeted this. Like, they were out of sorts last night. I mean, they were so focused on the officials. Mm-hmm. Right away.
After and every call.
I thought that was a sign of, oh man, they're up against it.
We don't have it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's something unconscious going on. LeBron smoked a layup in the fourth quarter against Jokic, and the old LeBron definitely dunks the ball. The older LeBron lays it up off the board pretty easily, I thought. Mm-hmm. The oldest LeBron, which is the guy that we saw in game three, smoked it, didn't hit the rim. Backboard, mm-hmm. bounced out the other side. Never hit the rim. He made his first three out of like 19 or so in the fourth quarter. So what are we talking about here? We don't have to talk about the Lakers series anymore. If LeBron isn't LeBron, what are they?
They're right.
They're the Pelicans. They're better than that. They're the Pelicans with Drew anyway. They are really talented, but against the number one seeded West.
Right, you're not.
He gets the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Like, they need LeBron to be something better than what he's been.
Right.
And of course, he's saying one game at a time, whatever. What choice do you have? They're not going to say we definitely can't win.
Right.
Yeah. And we have to allow.
Yes.
Because
human nature to set in.
Mm-hmm. And? That's because LeBron James. There is that the legendary players have earned their legendary status by continuing to shock us. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, less than half of 1%, maybe.
Right.
It's not zero.
Right. Right.
It's not zero. It's close to zero, though.
But he and AD are going to have to play their best game of the playoffs tonight, and then also
just to win game four,
and then also have some players on the Nuggets not play well. Right. Like, it's not just one; they also have to not play well.
MPJ's been good.
Yes, he has.
Been. Bruce Brown's been very good.
Another player, second round pick, who. Detroit, bounced around. Anybody could have get this guy. We don't, you know. Can you coach him up? Can you recognize what does he do well? How does he impact winning, as you mentioned before?
Yeah.
Because he does. He clearly impacts winning. Okay? Yeah. Do that. We want you to do that thing. And how do I empower you to do that thing?
Well, what's funny, too, is in my article that I write this week, we're going to look at the drafts a little bit. I won't go into deep detail about the names just yet, but no one's looking for the next Bruce Brown. And no one's looking for the next Gabe Vincent.
Nope.
They'll take the younger kid typically who's got upside and will be in Poland in 3 years or 4 years, you know. By the way, Gabe Vincent's draft pretty talented.
Yes.
2018 draft.
That's the great draft.
Is that considered that? I don't follow it. I'm like, man, there's a lot of good players in this draft.
It is one of the great drafts. Yeah, that's the Luka, Jaren. Like that's
loaded. Bunch of guys.
Yes, that is an excellent draft.
He should have been a second round pick for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably top 30 anyway, but definitely top 35. You know, there's not 35 players better than him in the draft. There's a lot though. It was an impressive draft.
Look, we are seeing the evidence right now. He is starring on a team that is one game away from the NBA Finals. And he's not some dude playing 2 minutes a night. Like, he's starting and playing he's a huge part of what they do.
And what was Bruce Brown drafted?
Second round.
40-something, maybe?
Yeah, in the 40s.
Yeah.
They've
really... The Nuggets, they kind of recovered pretty well from a rough end of season. Helped by who their opponents have been.
No doubt.
In the second round, though, I mean, people thought they might have some trouble.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
The only trouble spot, I guess, is when it was 2-2.
Yeah, Phoenix won games 3 and 4, but then, you know, Denver surged. That's an impressive win. I have my doubts about them versus Spo. I think it's a heavy lean to Spo over Malone. But We're not there yet. Let's get through.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, let's see. If one team wins game four and the other team does win to game six, that matters too.
Mm-hmm,
because always these guys have some serious time off.
I would love that. Which will be good for both teams. Let's look at Denver and the importance of KCP, Bruce Brown, and Jeff Green. Jeff Green's been there for a couple seasons now. But the difference between having them as your role players as opposed to Monty Morris and Will Barton and Austin Rivers, right? And also, what's the big caveat is Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray are healthy this go-round, right? Because remember, Morris and Barton had to slot up a level, right? When they probably would have, if those guys were healthy, they would have been the role players. Right. But instead, they had to be the starters, right? Well, of course, they're not as good. But now we've switched, and now we have guys who can play defense and facilitate on offense. I mean, Bruce Brown can hit threes. He cuts to the rim, like attacks with the – they race. When they make or miss, and Jokic, Slim Jokic, they get the ball, and they are pushing.
He's really pushing.
And you said this. You're like, oh, the scouting report was 100% run the Lakers ragged. Because they're old. Make those two old dudes tired.
That's why I thought it was so important that L.A. win game one, or at least game one, one or two. But I thought game one specifically because I thought it would be hard. I've said this every series they played.
Yes, you have.
That you got to get on top of them because I don't think they'll finish so great. And Denver got on top of them. And here we are. You know, they were right there until the very end. Kind of ran out of gas in the end of game four. In the end of game three in the fourth quarter. We'll see what happens tonight. But they just, it's hard to bring that energy knowing they've got to win four in a row.
And then on the Lakers end, Austin Reeves has been great. Rui Hachimura. The trouble that Ham seems to be having is the one-way play of D'Lo and Vanderbilt, right? Both are good on opposite ends of the court. And he can't find something where they're both giving enough on one end and they're passable on the other. It's just not, they're such minuses. In the area they're not, and it's really hurting them. And you can see they look for D'Lo on defense clearly, like, let's get him, and then leave Bando open. He's not going to make any shots, and you know that's got to fuck with your mind at some point.
Kind of running out of talent, trusted talent.
Yeah, it would be, I think, just an exciting series to see the best player in the world, Nikola Jokic, and Denver also, David, is that team that we're used to seeing, right, in terms of their. You know, you're a little bit older than me. But when we watched teams as we were growing up, you kind of had to go through your playoff lumps, right? The Bulls kept butting their head up against the Celtics and Pistons, and they finally break through. Pistons kept losing to Celtics, finally break through. Well, this is Denver. They went to the conference finals three seasons ago, lost in the semifinals the last two seasons, so they've had playoff lumps. So of all the teams, like Miami, they've got continuity. They've seen what it's like to lose, and they've got the reference point. So I think it's nice to see a team like this not kind of panic, right? And sort of, oh my God, we got to the conference finals and we lost. Sell this guy, move this guy. Let's get somebody else in here. Like, around the edges, but they believed in their core, believed that if Murray got healthy, he'd be fine. And we have to mention, by the way, Jamal Murray's first half. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, 25?
Yeah, 30 at the half. He
was it 30?
30, yes, 30 Jeez. At the half. He... maybe more than any other player, and I think you said this morning on our call, has this ability to just go on this heater, and it's like everything's
tough,
good.
Yeah, tough shot maker, but they're not shots that are like crazy. He creates space, and he can make the 13 to 17 footer, and it's like he's shooting in a driveway.
Yes.
Yeah, he can. He's really good at it.
And when he is on that roll, it's like he's nothing.
Right.
When he shoots it, it's like when I'm watching KD, I'm like, I'm surprised it doesn't go in. I'm like, oh, you're on. Why didn't it go in?
I feel the same way. Yeah.
He's phenomenal. So shout outs to him. And yeah, again, to your point, maybe one of these teams wins a game here. But honestly, for the sake of the finals, I hope they both put these teams out of their misery and tonight and tomorrow night and get rest. So they both have about equal footing. And we spend all week talking about, or not, 2 weeks almost, 9 days, talking about how great this NBA Finals is going to be. I agree with you. Early preview, Spo for sure has a decided advantage tactically, and that will win them some games, but I don't think the finals will be a sweep.
I don't either.
I think it should be a long series, again, barring nobody being injured and all those fluky things that tend to happen late in the season. There was a there was a tweet that was sent out by Katie Wingy, who is the Denver Nuggets, one of their broadcast members. And it was Michael Malone after game three, if I'm not mistaken. You know, a lot of teams do this. He's like giving out the kudos, like, you know, Kenny, you know, by the way, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's in that third quarter when Denver's offense was in a rut, kept them afloat. Making huge shots.
Yeah.
So he was getting props from Malone. Of course, Murray for his first half. He purposely shouted out Michael Porter Jr. twice in his post game and in the locker room with his, you know, good play. Because as we know, early MPJ is just hunting his own shot, right? That's all he's doing because that's what I am. I'm the shooter scorer guy. He passed up shots a number of times in that game for a better shot for a wide open teammate.
Got six assists.
And that is growth for him. That is huge growth for him. Yeah. So they made a point to play that out. But you wanted to point out something about that whole exchange because it's not unique, right? Everyone does that.
Yeah. Nothing against the I almost never criticize media people, and that's the second time today. But I just, the idea that, hey, look at this team. They're so loving because they just beat LA in game three and probably won the series because of it, almost for sure did. And yeah, so they celebrated. Great pass, this, and good job, Michael Porter Jr. and KCP. That doesn't impress me, you know? Every team does that after a big win. I want to see how they're reacting when they get punched in the mouth or lose a game, which they did against Phoenix. That is fine for me. Mm-hmm. Like your video of Jimmy Butler said what Jimmy Butler said we'll be back next year. That's what you're supposed to say. Mm-hmm. He didn't point fingers, though. That's what you're not supposed to say. He did the right thing. Mm-hmm. I don't love that kind of, you pretend not to like the lovey-dovey stuff. I don't love this celebration for stuff that's so normal.
Right, right.
I want to see how they do when things are bad. That's always my big thing.
So what you want leaked is the video of the Celtics locker room after getting beat by a drum in game three. That's what you want to see.
Or even just game two. I would like to see how they reacted in game two, which I didn't see.
Well, clearly not well because they lost game three.
Right. that's all. Denver, listen, they want to root for a champion. And they have a great team.
They have a wonderful team. And they have a great superstar in Jokic, someone who's, so they're, it's wonderful for them to root for. A couple notes around the league. There's talk where, pebbles in the water, so to speak. James Harden may return to the Houston Rockets. Look, we know he opted out of his deal. And we said this when he took less money at the time so they can get PJ Tucker and get guys in here to compete. And they were, they were 3 minutes away from getting to the conference finals?
Don't Tatum went crazy.
Right. We said that, but there's got to be some wink-wink deal with his buddy Daryl that I'm getting my money at some point. Well, Harden's going to want his money, and so it'll be interesting to see. I think they have a couple of things to answer in Philly. Who's going to be the head coach? And I think that's going to play into whether or not Harden's there, and then that will then deliver the next step. And then how much does Daryl and James's agent agree to? He's probably in line for a $40 million a year deal, something like that.
I've heard the number 200 million.
Okay, 5 years of 200 is $40 million a year. So I know you would not do that if you were GM. You would not give that to him.
I would not.
We shall see. We know Houston has cap money, so if they can certainly do it if Philly doesn't do it.
It's going to depend on who they hire as a coach. The first step, right?
That's the first step
is who they hire as a coach.
We know all the names that have been floated around out there. Monty Williams, Nick Nurse, this, that, and the third. All the guys basically who are unemployed right now, who just got fired, it's the same cycle. A name that to keep in mind, it's who Morey had his best success with in Houston. Is Mike
Kevin
D'Antoni.
McHale? Mike D'Antoni, I'm sorry.
It's Mike D'Antoni. No, it's good. Kevin McHale.
Yeah.
Victor Wembanyama. We have heard some reports that he's going to get mentored, some level of mentorship from Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. Well, you're the perfect person to talk to about this because, as a coach myself, mentorship is huge, and I believe in it.
Yeah.
I would like to know what the structures and parameters are because he doesn't need 95 people in his ears telling him what to do.
He's already got good people. Right. He's an impressive young man. Very impressive young man who just, I think, won a playoff game the other day.
Yes. Played very well. 22-10 and 5.
Yeah, 5 or 6. I think Hollinger called it on the internet. I think that he's got a really good team in place already. The Spurs clearly want to connect to the past. It's smart marketing. I'm not sure how involved they'll be. He knows Tony because he used to play for his team. Mm-hmm. But who wouldn't want to see Tim Duncan mentoring him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing.
Yeah. The right guy will give him the right sort of like understanding and it's also, I do wonder, I don't know what it's like to coach him. One of the things that pop works well for him is that he's able to mother F everybody on the team, including Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker.
He doesn't do it very much anymore, I'm told.
Okay, he doesn't mother F as much. Okay.
Not as much. Yeah. He picks his moments more. Yeah.
Okay.
He was less judicious when he was younger.
Because there's a school of thought that a lot of the, as people call them, new dudes, these younger kids, don't like to be mother F'd all that much. And so that a kind of old school military drill sergeant way of doing things may not work with these younger breed of kids. And I'm like, I think it's all athlete dependent, right? Like, if you understand what it is, and if Pop and he have a relationship, and to what you said, do they go out and have dinner, or all the things to know, oh, when he mother F's me, it's because I really messed up, and right? Or is he just mother effing just the mother F, right?
Don't listen to the tone. Don't listen to the curse words. Try to get the teaching point.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
An important note, I mean, if you thought it was already true, but Carmelo Anthony announced his retirement today officially. David, and this is not about, no, we never won a title, all those kinds of things. One of the best bucket getters, right, we've ever seen in this game. Listen, you're down and you get the ball to Carmelo 17 feet out. I'm almost positive we're going to get not only a shot, probably a score, because in his prime, that jab step dribble, like, I mean, it was money. I mean, I'm sure if I look it up, the expected point per possession was like 1.2 or something crazy like that. He, a phenomenal player, Olympic Melo, hoodie Melo, you know, all the wonderful, like, he was what, I mean, let's go back to Syracuse when he won the NCAA title as a freshman, most outstanding player. He was so freaking good. Hall of Famer, 10-time All-Star, 6-time All-NBA. Just a terrific, terrific player. Congrats to Melo on a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, beloved player for a lot of players who grew up loving him. Amazing offensive player. Really special, so special, good. Special. Yeah.
Ninth all-time in the NBA in scoring. Which
that's fucking
that
good.
Is. I mean, I love it. You know how good you got to be top 10 all-time in this league and fucking
ninth
scoring?
Ninth all-time in scoring and NCAA champion as a freshman. That's a nice little ring to it.
Pretty good. It's not a bad life. Yeah. And $300 million or whatever the fuck he made over his career.
Yeah.
Not bad.
He did well. Yeah.
All right, guys. Enjoy the games tonight, and we will see you all on Thursday. Take care.